help us to commence this evening with hymn 359. How charming is the place where my Redeemer God unveils the beauties of his face and sheds his love abroad. 359.
Thank you.
Let us read from the first book of Kings, chapter 19. The first book of the Kings, chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baken on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time, and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Obel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass, that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose, and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. May the Lord bless his word, and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, how we need thee now to teach us how to pray and what to pray for as we ought. Lord, we thank thee for thy sparing mercies to the evening hour of thy holy day. And oh, we do pray that thou wilt rend the heavens, that thou wilt come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy sweet and sacred presence. And oh, may we be favoured this night to know and to feel thy sweet presence in our hearts and within these walls, and that we may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but thee. O Lord, we come before thee with all our need, and thou seest us each, Lord, exactly as we are. No, we pray thou wilt look upon us in thy mercy. All we deserve is thy wrath because of our many, many sins. But oh, we do thank thee. There is mercy to be found in the dear Redeemer. No, we would come pleading his precious name, his precious blood, his glorious merits. And, O Lord, we do seek that thou wilt intercede for us at this time, whene'er we venture to approach unto thee. We may prove what the dear hymn writer said, 'Tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. No, we pray for that sweet access at the throne of thy grace, and that we may spread before thee all our great need, our many burdens, our many cares. No, that thou wilt sweetly assure us, Lord, that thou wilt hear and answer our poor petition. Oh, that we may have those sweet answers of peace sent down. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant to us that real religion thou dost give to thy dear people. We may be truly taught of the Lord, and that we may be found in that narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And oh, may it please thee this night, dear Lord, that thou wilt speak to our souls, that we may be favoured like that we have read of dear Elijah, who heard thy still, small voice. And oh, that we may have our ears ever open to hear what thou wilt speak, and be pleading with the dear psalmist of old when he said, Be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Oh, how we need thee to speak pardon and peace into our souls. Oh, do come to each sin-sick soul this night and sweetly assure them and assure us, Lord, that thou didst come to suffer, bleed and die for us. And thou didst shed thy precious blood to redeem our souls from in this ruin. Oh, that thou wouldst come, dear Lord, and speak pardon and peace into each sin-sick heart. And sweetly assure us that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And oh, may there be those yet freed from all the bondage of sin and of Satan and loosed and let go, and know that sweet liberty which thou alone canst give. For thou hast said, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. And O Lord, do help those that are burdened and heavy laden tonight to cast all their burdens upon thee, to leave them at thy dear feet. For thou hast promised to manage all by the way and to the end. And oh, we do pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt look upon those that may feel to be at the ends of the earth. They may be given that faith, Lord, to look alone to thee. For thou hast said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Oh, that we may have that singleness of eye, Lord, to ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And oh, Lord, how we need thee to grant us that living faith to believe. And knowest, Lord, the unbelief that so often we are plagued. And oh, how we need thee to take it all away, to remove it from us. And thou wilt strengthen our little faith, that we may ever be dependent upon thee, looking unto thee, believing in thee. For Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. No, we pray thou wilt meet the cases of thy dear people this night. Oh, do grant to us, Lord, that heavenly patience to wait thy time and thy appearing, and for thee to answer our poor prayers and groanings, and for thee to fulfil thy sweet promises. And that we may be patiently waiting for thy coming. And O Lord, do help us to endure to the end, and do grant to us more and more, Lord, grace, how we need it. May thy grace abound in us. Lord, we know so much of the aboundings of sin, but oh, may grace abound over it all. We pray that thou wilt make us steadfast and unmovable. May we ever be found upon that blessed rock, even Jesus, the sure foundation stone. Deliver us from being driven about by every wind of doctrine. But oh, may we be steadfast and unmovable in the vital things of God. And oh, may there be those yet born again, quicken into life. We pray that there may be the sweet fulfillment of that word of the dear poet, and that thou would awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. Oh, may almighty love rest that man, that woman, that child, Lord. The power's thine. And oh, we pray for thy blessed appearing, and that thou wilt, where thou art working in the hearts of thy dear children, that thou wilt yet establish them in the truth and make them steadfast and unmovable. We pray, dear Lord, for the dear children, the dear babes. We thank thee for safe deliverance to dear Sarah, and we pray that the dear babe may be healthy and well and blessed to them and to thy people as one of thy dear children. We pray, dear Lord, for others that are carrying offspring. We pray for safe deliverance to be given to them at the appointed time, and that the dear babes may be born with all their faculties and be raised up to be vessels of divine mercy. And oh, do remember those that have no offspring. We pray for much grace and patience to bear these things, and that thou wilt uphold and support and sustain. And do bless each of the dear young ones, and may they be kept from this world and kept from all the snares of Satan and of sin, and be raised up to be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. Oh, do hear the prayers that are put up for them. And may those prayers be heard and answered. May there be those Samuels, Lord. May there be those Ruths raised up. Lord, the power's thine, the Timothys and Lydias. Oh, Lord, as thou didst declare in thy word of such characters, may we be blessed with them throughout the churches today. Nor do remember those that are troubled and many things to exercise them and burden. We pray that thou would appear for each one. And those, Lord, that are in the evening time of life, many of thy dear people, Lord, feel much the mud wall cottage shake. But oh, we pray that thou wilt so favour them, they may be able to say, I long to see it fall. May we each be prepared, Lord, for the great day of death and a vast eternity. Oh, do assure us that it is well with us while life endures, and well when called to die. Do bless the church here and increase them in numbers. We thank thee for all thou hast done, Lord, and we would praise and bless thy holy name. And oh, we would be truly thankful for present, and yet ask for more. May it be so here, and godly increase, Lord, and in our own church at home and throughout Zion. There might be those times when the harps can be taken down from the willows, and we can sound forth the praises of our God. Lord, thou alone canst do these things, and we would beg of thee to grant all needed help to the deacons in their burdens and weights and responsibilities, who help our dear brother at the desk this night with the choice of the hymns, and may they be made a blessing to his soul and to us each. And may we know the realities of what we sing. who help all thy dear servants and grant them gracious liberty, Lord, in the preaching of thy word. May thy word have free course and be glorified. We pray that thou wilt appear throughout Zion and revive thy work, Lord. There are many of our causes that are in a very low ebb. Oh, we beg of thee to appear and to make bare thine arm, that thou wilt work yet, Lord, and grant that there may be a filling of the empty seats with some precious souls crying, "Give me Christ, or else I die." And oh, do have mercy upon the nation, Lord, thou to see the solemn state we're in. We beg of thee to appear in the negotiations in leaving the European Union. Thou will give those in authority, Lord, that faith to look away from themselves and away from man, to look to thee who art able to do for us far exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. Oh, do make bare thine arm and work, we pray, in this land, and overturn and overturn all the powers of evil and of sin, and all those that would take the privileges we are favoured with from. We beg of thee that thou wilt yet come and turn this nation from its deceitful, wicked ways to turn to thee, the only true God. And oh, do have mercy upon all that are persecuted, all in war-torn lands. We beg of thee to appear in all the crisis there are throughout the earth, thou wilt make bare thine arm and work. And now we would not multiply words, but we would praise and bless thy holy name for thy goodness and mercy to us. Unworthy as we are, Lord, we would love and praise thee more. Do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name this night. May we be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. We pray for thee to apply thy word with divine power. May there be that real fruit to follow, Lord. For thou hast said, "By me is thy fruit found." Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking. So we ask it all in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1107. When some sweet promise warms our hearts and cheers us under every care, it is the Spirit's gracious part to take that word and fix it there. 1107.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll again direct you to the book of Ezra, chapter 10, and the fourth verse. The book of Ezra, chapter 10, and verse 4. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. The book of Ezra, chapter 10, and verse 4. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. This word has remained with me much since we left it this morning, and the Lord hasn't given me anything further to bring, so we will venture as help to look at it further. First of all, we want to look at a few of the occasions when the Lord spoke this beautiful word, arise, to his dear children. And as we indicated this morning in some little measure, how vital this word is, because how soon we are cast down and how soon we are in a place where we settle upon our leaves, contented with our state and unexercised and unconcerned, and we need the Lord to speak this word to us. And there are many different circumstances throughout God's holy word where he was pleased to speak it. And we would first of all then look at a few of them. We named a few this morning. The case of dear Joshua and the case of Peter in particular and the housetop in Joppa. But we think first of all this evening of dear Elijah. And there are two sweet occasions where the Lord wonderfully spoke this word, arise, to him. The first occasion that we would name was when he had been at the brook Cherith. You remember the Lord had withheld the rain from the earth, and famine was upon the land. And the Lord wonderfully took him to the brook Cherith, and there sent the ravens to feed him, both in the morning and then again in the evening. And he drank of the brook. But there he was not to stay always. The Lord was to speak to him because the brook was to dry up. It's a searching place, you know, when the brook dries up. Whether it be naturally, you think how we would be in this land if there was no water. James tells us in his epistle that it rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And oh, you think of the state of this nation if the Lord withheld it for that season. We remember last year in that great heat wave how in many places there were great concerns because of lack of water. But think about it spiritually. You know, it's a searching place when the word of God seems to dry up. You know, you can read the word of God, read his word, and it may seem like a dry brook. It's a solemn place when that is so. It just seems like print on the page. But what was the prophet to do when he came to this place? And what were the poor, exercised child of God do in 2019? They need the Lord to appear. And so did Elijah. And what do we read? And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And you can see here how wonderfully the Lord was to provide for him. He got to venture on. It seems to be laid on me in this, you know, there are times where we feel we just got to sit still, and many can sit still in a stagnant, unexercised state and say, oh well, we're waiting for the Lord to appear, and we can't go on unless he does, but we can't do anything. We know that is true, we can't. But what about our inmost soul? Well, with Elijah, the Lord was to go before him in it. And may the Lord, in things that you may be in tonight, as the text says, this matter, go before you like he did to Elijah. And the Lord had wonderfully gone before in Zarephath to prepare for him. And there was this dear widow woman. You most of many would say were the most unlikely sort of character that was to provide for him. But she was in the hands of the Lord, you see. We often forget, don't we, that all things are in his hand and all events are at his command. So the Lord spoke that, arise, get thee to Zarephath. This was a clear command to him, just as our text says concerning Ezra, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. And why had he got to go? For the Lord to wonderfully sustain him there. And how there was this dear widow woman gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal and a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And then Elijah speaks this beautiful word. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And then this beautiful promise, and may the Lord speak it to us tonight. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. How wonderfully the Lord was to provide. Supply his need in every way. And for the dear woman too. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. and the bow of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. But think of the sweet command, and I would press this point with you tonight. In doing what he said, the Lord said, there was wonderful profit in it. Oh, there was. And there's no doubt this dear woman never forgot this occasion. Sometimes we think of the bow of meal being full, but you know, there are some times when you may even have to scrape the bottom, but it won't fail. Why? Because it's all in the Lord's hand, you see. And what a mercy when he says to his dear children, arise. And they arise and go to the word of God that seemed like a closed book, dried up. And he opens it all up before them. And they see in it a precious Jesus, him being the one thing needful, and they can draw from him all that they need. We sing, don't we? None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. But then the second occasion with the dear servant of God was what we read in the lesson this evening. But before we name that, the chapter in between what we have just named, this 18th chapter, Elijah proved the wonders of his God and the faith that was given to Elijah on Mount Carmel when he prayed to prove to the prophets of Baal who was the living God in Israel. And the Lord sent the fire from heaven, didn't he? To prove that the Lord was the living God in Israel. And I often think of the dear man, the faith given to him to believe the Lord would send it. You see, is anything too hard for the Lord? But in the chapter we read together this evening, look at there's such a different Elijah. It proves to us, doesn't it, how he was a man of like passions, just like we are. There are times where a little faith seems strong and we believe the Lord will do these things for us and appear for us and answer our prayers and grant us our requests and fulfill his sweet promises. But then, how soon we are like Elijah. There he was, under the juniper tree, asking the Lord that he might die. Why? Because fleeing from a woman, Jezebel, who was after his life. And you know, the dear man, he felt to be at the ends of the earth, whereas on Mount Carmel he saw the wonders of his God. But how soon we go down, don't we? Sink into a place where we feel we'll never rise again. And what did the Lord do? Well, he caused Elijah firstly to sleep. And as he slept, he asked the Lord, before he slept, that he might die, feeling he was the only one left that had not bowed his knee nor worshipped Baal. But you see, Elijah didn't know everything, and nor do we. And where did the Lord come? He comes right to him. He sends his angel. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. He was to awake him out of that sleepy condition and all the trouble he was in, and to provide for him. And he looked, and behold, There was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And then the Lord came the second time. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat." And then he gives this wonderful word, "Because the journey is too great for thee." Do you know what it is when the journey is too great for you? There are times when we are sorely tempted by Satan and the journey seems too great for us. There are times when affliction comes. The journey seems too great for us. There are times where the Lord hides his face, and the journey seems too great for us. There are times that may be in trouble with providence, or trouble in our souls, and the journey seems too great for us. And the many other things we could name. Now, it was all too great for Elijah. And there may be those things tonight that concern you, and they all seem too great for you. And they are, and the Lord knew with Elijah it was too great for him. But listen, sinner. That sin that weighs you down, sir, that sin that really troubles you, that sin that you are often tempted will never be forgiven. It's all too great for you. And you have to beg and plead the Lord to appear. What did he do for Elijah? Well, let's be very clear. It wasn't too great for Elijah's God, was it? It was too great for Elijah. It was too great for you and too great for me. But it wasn't too great for Elijah's God. He was to appear. And he was to show to Elijah there were 7,000 that had not bowed their knee nor worshipped Baal. He was not the only one that was left, as he felt to be. The Lord was to do wonders for the dear man. And there may be those tonight of you that have got things and they seem too great for you. You come up the house of God, "Lord, they're too great for me." But do you believe they're not too great for your God? He's able to do far exceeding abundantly than you can even ask or think. Nothing is too hard for him. Think of what the Lord said to Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We read, don't we, several times in the Word of God, the things that are impossible with men are possible with the Lord. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. If I may just drop a brief word personally about this, I've said it from this pulpit many times, but I shall never forget in 1967, the first Lord's Day of the year, I was suffering from nervous exhaustion and I'd got no strength how to go and preach. The doctor said I got to rest, but the Lord gave me a text, and I ventured to go to Ponsard Road in London with this word, "The Lord preserveth the simple." I was brought low and he helped me. And I felt helped through the day, but after the two services I was absolutely spent. And how to venture to go home I didn't know, but the minister was due at Watford, was either taken ill or unable to fulfil the evening engagement. And they asked me if I would come from Ponsard Road at last minute. And in love to them, I felt, well, I'll try. And I got to the chapel and I had a little tea and I felt to be at the ends of the earth. And I got no text. And I said to the Lord, Lord, what am I doing here? And I sat in that vestry and the deacons came in and they prayed. And they went into the chapel. And I'd hardly strength enough to get out of the chair and walk to the door to go into the chapel. And I ventured and I put my hand on the rail of the pulpit to go up in that pulpit. You know, I should never forget it. And as I put my hand on that rail, the Lord spoke those words to me. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And, you know, it was life and power to me. And I read that sacred chapter we read this evening and, you know, I ventured to preach from it. And as I preached from it, I felt the strength come in me. And from that very hour, you know, I started to get better. But I had to come to the ends of the earth, you see, before the Lord appeared. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Well, just to pursue this further, I'll name a few more occasions before we go further with the text. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We think of the dear Lord Jesus and the dear disciples in John 14. That very sacred chapter that the Lord has made life and power to many of his dear children. How lovingly the Saviour spoke to comfort these sorrowing disciples that he had said he was going to leave them and go away from them for a season. What do we read at the close of that beautiful chapter? These precious words, arise, and the Saviour spoke it himself, let us go hence. Very precious words they are. You see, the dear disciples have got to go on, and each of us, if we're spared, we've got to go on in this journey through life. Not only the journey through life, we've got to go on in the spiritual journey if we are in that narrow way. And there was all this sorrow that surrounded the dear disciples. Let us go hence, he says. Arise, let us go hence. Now, there's some very precious things in that word. Firstly, they hadn't got to go alone. You may say, well, he was going to leave them. They feared they got to go alone, and they had physically, because he was going to leave them. But there's a wonderful reality to it. His sacred presence was still to be known in their hearts. Let us go hence. And may it be so in your poor heart and mind tonight as we venture on. You see, he was going to go with them. Arise, let us go hence. They weren't going to go alone. You know, the blessed Holy Spirit was to be their comforter. We read it in that sacred chapter. He was going to go with them. He was going to take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto them as they went on. But there's another sacred point in that. What about that word hence? They didn't know what they got to walk through, nor do you and nor do I tonight as we go hence. They got to venture upon the Lord, hence, going forward. But there were those deep things they got to enter into. They got to view their dear Redeemer taken by a wicked and deceitful man and be crucified and slain. In a little measure they witness the depths of his sorrows in the Garden of Gethsemane, but they couldn't even endure with him 1 hour, could they? Did he not say to them, "Could ye not endure with me 1 hour?" So intense were those agonies. Their poor flesh could not stand it. But then, as they were to go hence to Calvary, or to the judgment hall and then to Calvary, they were to see the crown of thorns put upon his head. They were to see how he was spit upon and scourged. They were to see him nailed, and I speak it with much reverence, to Calvary's tree. Arise, let us go in. And they were to hear the words that he uttered on Calvary. Oh, they were. Things that they were to never forget. The great cost of their salvation. He was to shed that precious blood. That blood that redeems the blackest and vilest of sinners. It flowed forth. And too, they were to hear his final words. It is finished. Salvation's work was done. And they saw him bow his head and give up the ghost. And oh, what that word hence meant to them. And you know, each of us have got to go hence from this service, and none of us know what we've got to walk through. But all you think, and I don't want to leave it on the note of sorrow which they had known so much, there was to be the joy. That glorious resurrection morn. And all you think of the joy of those dear women sweetly experienced when he revealed himself to them. You think of the joy when he made himself known to the dear disciples. But they had to go through the sorrow to experience the joy. Let me just say one further thing of this. Think of those beautiful words that Jesus spoke to them. Ye now therefore have sorrow. There may be those of you tonight that have it. But, he says, what a but that is. I will see you again. You may say, well, poor unworthy me. Yes, I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. It's a precious, profound word that is, isn't it? Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. And you think of those dear disciples, the matter did belong to them. The blessing was to descend out of it all. Oh, it was. To their poor hearts, and the joy no man could take from them. And may the Lord favour us with a little of it in our souls as we venture on. But then let us go to the Acts of the Apostles. We did name the case of Peter this morning, but there's another sweet occasion that we would name. And those of you that may be exercised concerning the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house, This is a precious word to somebody in that exercise. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. You haven't laid it on yourself. The Lord has put it there. It belongeth unto thee. You may say, oh, but I'm so poor and so helpless, I'm so vile. Well, poor soul, the Lord knows exactly how you feel and exactly how much you need him. For this matter belongeth unto thee. My mind goes to the case of dear Philip. You know how he preached Christ in Samaria. And the Lord wonderfully blessed his labours there, but the Lord spoke to him. This word, which is a parallel word to what's in our text. Arise and go unto the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. Clear command, wasn't it? Like with Ezra here. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. I often think of that dear man, you know. Many years before I moved to Sussex, when I was pastor at Ashwell, the Lord spoke that word to me. Arise and go unto the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. I said, Lord, I don't want to go to a desert. There'll be nothing there. There's no doubt Philip felt it. Hey, what's the purpose of going to a desert? But it was a clear command. And the Lord made him willing to go. And each of us know the gracious effect it had. There was a eunuch, one in that desert, that needed the gospel preached to him. That needed the Lord to appear. And oh, how beautifully in that sacred account in the Acts of the Apostles, we have it how he went there, and there was the eunuch reading in the prophecy of Isaiah. And the Lord spoke another clear word to him. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And he went, he was obedient, you see, to what the Lord said to him. And this is so with Ezra it was. The matter arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. And he had to venture, you see. First down to Gaza. Secondly to the chariot. And then he asked the eunuch this. Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And oh, how beautifully Philip opened, we read, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This was all what the dear man needed, you see. The hear of a precious Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. You know, I've often thought about this, a desert, and there was a certain water. When dear Mr. Mulvey baptised me, he preached from that word, and they came unto a certain water. And I shall never forget him leaning over the pulpit, and he said, and here it is, friends. There's this certain water. God has provided. All those years back in 1963, it still remained with me. And he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And what a sweet testimony the dear man gave, didn't he? He wasn't many words, but there was everything in it. And he answered and said, I believe. that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Look in your poor heart and mind tonight. Many say, oh, but I've not got much. But could you say that? All his hope was in the dear Redeemer. All his salvation was there. The hymn writer said, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. And then we find this beautiful word. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You know, there's a sacred word too in the 22nd chapter. What the Lord spoke of this word arise to the Apostle Paul, who saw as he was then. And we read this, and may the Holy Spirit whisper it to some poor soul this night. And now, the time had come, you see. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. They're beautiful words, really, aren't they? There's everything in it for the dear Apostle Paul, so as he was then. Everything in it, what he needed. Well, to come back to the text, and then I'll be brief. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. And don't forget what I said this morning. How wonderfully the Holy Spirit has left this. We also will be with thee. There will be those praying for you. There are those resting for you. There are those to encourage you. We also will be with thee. But don't forget what I further said. The vital seal. We also will be with thee. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage. You may say, oh, but I haven't got any courage. But here's a word to bid you. Be of good courage. My mind goes, and I will just briefly name it, going back to what we hinted at this morning concerning dear Joshua in that first chapter of the book of Joshua. How was he to lead the dear children of Israel? Well, the Lord tells him this, and I will just remind you of it. He said to him this, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And then listen, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then you see, the Lord seemed to confirm it to dear Joshua. And he goes further and he says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Oh, how comprehensive that word was to dear Joshua. He was going to need it not only that day, but in all the days to come. And you think here, with all that was before Ezra, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage. Sometimes we feel our courage has fled, as the hymn writer said, but oh, when the Lord so appears and he gives the sinner that courage in their soul and in mind and in body to venture on. And then these last three words, which are very vital, really. And do it. You think of those tonight. May we lay them to heart and do it. There may be those immediately say, oh, well, I cannot do it. And you can't yourself, and the Lord knows you can't, poor son. But under his blessed power and influence and divine leading, he'll give you grace to do it. Now, just a few things. Firstly, we read in Psalm 110, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Willing to do it. In the day of his power. And when he so appears for you, he'll make you willing, poor soul. We sing in that, I think it's in 771, thus make us willing, glorious Lamb. And oh, may the Lord make us each willing to ever obey what he commands. He may be in a matter in providence, it may be a matter in your pathway spiritually, it may be a matter in your soul. Do it and do it. Finally, we think of the marriage in Cana of Galilee. You remember they had no wine. And the servant said, we have no wine. And what did the mother of Christ say to those servants? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You think of those words tonight. They're in our text, and do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you. Be obedient to the Lord. Do exactly what he says. And in doing it, there will be profit. Now you look at it in the case of the Lord Jesus there in the marriage. What did he do? He turned the water into wine. And they'd never tasted such wine before. Like it. Oh no. And may we know the sweet wine of the gospel and the sweet wine there is in what Jesus speaks, you see, to his dear people. It will make the very heart of the child of God rejoice and be glad. Oh, it will. But in doing what the mother of Christ said to the servants, there was profit in it. Oh, there was. The water was turned into wine. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this. The time's gone. May the Lord sweetly apply this text. If nothing that I've rambled round today, and the Lord knows why he's laid it upon me. And I'll leave you with the word, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. It's an absolute clear command. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £705, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by our friend Mr. Field. Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gerald Buss next Lord's Day. And the evening service next Lord's Day will be at 6 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 927. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend. 927.
dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Oh, do bless thy word to our souls. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep this night. And may there be that which abides in us and the sweet fulfilment of it. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the divine Comforter, rest and remain with us each now and forevermore.